Mom Save America is presented by Integration Partners, a nationwide network integrator specializing in cloud and security solutions.
Integration Partners, what's possible?
Hello and welcome to another edition of Mom Save America, where Carrie and I momtemplate. And for those of you guys maybe who are new to the podcast, remember when we used to say momtemplate is contemplating mom things?
Yes, let's stop that.
Yeah,
yes.
let's rehash the fact that momtemplate is actually contemplating mom things. And those
we've
mom things.
We've changed the format quite a bit.
We have changed the format. Contemplating mom things are things that involve anything parenting, anything pop culture, anything social media. And the most important topic is anything that makes me go, what the fuck? Because that is the regular topic of the day. So today in the podcast, we are going to try and hopefully not fail at momtemplating the verdict from the George Floyd case. I'd like to talk about aging parenting and all that involves with the different generations that we're going through, like the Generation X, Generation Z, and how it kind of relates. I have a little bit of a weird theory. I got into an argument with Jenny about it this morning, but because she brought up how China takes care of their aging parents, and I had a bird with her. But anyways, we'll go into that in a little bit later. Yes. What's new? What's new in the world of closet cleaning? She just came in talking about her daughter with the closet cleaning.
Yeah, you know, she loves to say, like, I've over-programmed her for the day, or over, you know, budgeted her time, when literally she's like an old person, like, can only do one thing a day, and that's enough. And it's too taxing, and I've put too much pressure on her, and, oh, the youth.
The good cleaning out of the closet, though, I honestly love when they're standing there basically naked, and I'm like, try this on, try this on, because if we don't try it on, and then sometimes they'll try it on and be like, oh, I like it, and I'm like, you're never wearing that in the history of this.
Or, you know, buttoning it and going, oh, yeah, like, this fits. No. You got that on your body, but you will not be able to walk, so take it off and replace.
And I get that you're like thinking, oh, maybe I'll wear it at some point.
I mean, we all do it. Oh, maybe someday.
Right.
Someday.
Or no.
I always have like one of our listeners, Jen. Hi, Jen. She won't mind me calling her out. She had a someday bin.
Someday?
A someday bin.
Yeah.
But the bin was from like 1982. Okay.
So those are good ones though, because your kids want to go through those bins.
But like, let's let it go.
Yeah.
Like, we're never getting back to 1982. It's over,
well,
ladies.
The thing is if you do have daughters, my friend Jane, she has her bins designated by decade. So her kids will go into her 70s bins, her 80s
bins.
Can't
be bothered.
I can't be bothered either. And then my kids will yell at me like, don't you have a pair of old Levi's that you used to wear when you were... I'm like, those were donated.
Yeah, no, I am not a keeper.
Ago. No, me neither. All right, so I want to kick things off with two things. Number one, people can't handle criticism at all in any form. I'm done with American Idol because there's no actual critiquing on American Idol.
Well, that is true.
I just want to have a say.
Talk about format change. Like, that is true. Like, yeah, and listen, I've been watching some of Idol. I love Idol in the beginning, and then I lose interest once it gets down to, like, the top 24 type thing. But here, my thing is, like, I don't mean this as mean. You are so ordinary.
Like, ordinary.
There are lovely, amazing singers out there in the world. But when you wrap it all up in the package, you have to be extraordinary.
Or you have to be different. Something has to be unique about you versus, like Simon Cowell used to say, I don't want to watch another karaoke performance of the same version.
We have a Carrie Underwood. Yeah. She won. Yes. She was fantastic.
Right.
We're not looking for another Carrie Underwood.
Right, or another Whitney Houston or another whatever they're trying to be. And I'm done.
And stop singing the Whitney Houston songs. It isn't 1982. Like, stop.
There are three judges. They're all very hilarious in their own way, but they say the same thing. And no one ever just stops and says, bad song choice, guys. No one has any negative criticism because they're so afraid of the backlash. And I'm like, you're not doing these kids any favors.
Yeah, well, now I think everybody's like treading on canceled culture and saying the wrong thing or hurting somebody's feelings. Like, we've all gotten into a little bit of that. But these people have entered a
competition
talent show to be judged on their talent in relation to one another.
Right.
So you have to do some hard criticism, hard comparison.
And sometimes in relation to the artist that they picked the song choice. You picked a Whitney Houston song, you're going to be compared to Whitney Houston.
Right. So you better be better because we already had a Whitney.
Right. Yeah. And I'm so over it. The only thing that I love about American Idol is, who's the sidekick? Jimmy? No. Who's the guy who actually mentors them off the side?
Oh, Bobby Bones.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Well, that's sort of a good example of talking about how you have to be extraordinary. Like, he's very charismatic and different and outgoing. Like, there is something... You know, there's 100 DJs, radio personalities out there. You have to be extraordinary.
Which is what Ryan is.
Yeah.
He is extraordinary. And for as much as Katy Perry annoys me, she's the only one who actually says something semi-meaningful each time. Mm-hmm. Luke and Lionel, I mean, just go away.
Listen, I like Luke Bryan as what appears to be a person on the show.
Right.
But we've told you this before. My husband and I... happened to be at a Luke Bryan concert, not by choice, but we were working an event and it was a Luke Bryan concert. And wow, the boredom. Holy shit.
Of the songs.
Every song was exactly like the last one. Like, oh, drinking my beer down on my truck. Every single one. And the crowd eating it up and loving it and singing along like simpletons, like... Every single, for an hour and a half.
That's why we should be Facebook Living this, because if you all should have seen Carrie's reenactment, that was the best. All right, moving on from American Idol. I just want to review the rental car issue thing.
Oh, there was a big thing on the news this morning.
Thing on the news. I have been beside myself with why are rental car companies having this bit of a crisis.
Yep.
You've had your own debacle with it. I've had my debacles because I have been traveling with the girls. And the word on the street is, you know, the rental car companies last year, for whatever reason, why, I don't know, did they think that no one was ever going to come back for a rental car?
Oh, I think they
got rid of their inventory.
Right. I think they're trying to... generate some cash and save themselves from going bankrupt or whatever. Okay. So they reduced their fleet.
A half to two-thirds of their fleet, they each, all the different rental car companies, sold off because of the used car lot.
Market. We were watching it this morning on Good Morning America, my husband was like, it's a scam. It's all a lie.
They're
driving
up
prices. There's plenty of cars.
It's not the prices. It's
scam.
It's the lines. If you book your rental car through your... flight, if you kind of do the package deal, the prices are pretty much the same.
The prices have tripled.
Well, I haven't
tripled.
Seen that.
No, the prices, they're basically the advice was book your rent a car first. That way you can gauge whether you can afford to go on a vacation.
Oh my God, this is ridiculous. And now you know they're going to start blaming Biden because of the supplies, because they can't get new cars because the supply of inventory for new vehicles to backfill the... backfill their fleet is going to be...
I've been blaming everything on that goddamn boat in the canal. Like, every time I went somewhere and they didn't have what I was looking for, I was like, that friggin' boat!
The freighter.
It's the boat!
The freighter. Well, it did do some damage, but I don't understand the lines. Like, okay, if you don't have inventory, don't make the don't allow these people to make
the
reservation.
Thing. If you've promised me a product,
yes,
you should deliver.
And if you know you have inventory issues... fucking Avis or Budget, whoever, don't put those cars up on your website.
Don't oversell. Right. And if it's because you're afraid people aren't going to show up for their reservation, well, for the time being, you pay in advance.
Right.
Because I'm guilty of that. I'll make like 3 different car reservations with the intention of, decide which one I want when it gets closer and I'll cancel the others.
And you forget.
And then I forget, but I didn't have to prepay, so who cares?
Right.
And yeah, I realize that bogs up the system. So make that not an option
now. Or pay a penalty.
Right.
Like, you're automatically
charged. We have lots of solutions, but no one's asking us.
No one's asking us, for Christ's sakes. Moving on. We need to recap any of the funeral from Prince Philip. Is there any tidbit?
I don't think we know anything yet. I mean, it appeared that the boys had a moment.
Okay, I didn't really watch. I was too busy moving and sadly, you know, packing, so...
But I think everybody's reads into it too much, like it was, you know, William and then some cousin and then Harry.
Yeah, what's the big deal that they weren't standing next to each other?
And then in a picture, the cousin backed up.
Okay.
So it would appear that they were standing side by side, and everybody was like, oh, wasn't that so thoughtful of him? And I'm like, he probably is just walking a little bit slower.
Yeah, he
like,
had everybody's a fart just reading. He's like, oops, I don't want anybody to smell this. Sorry, I feel like
everybody's just reading into it too much, but yeah. We'll see.
I'm still just amazed at the fact that she goes right back to her activities.
Oh, the queen.
Yeah, sorry, the queen. She immediately just continued to sign whatever paper she had to sign, and I don't know, it's a long time to be with somebody. That's for sure.
Yeah, for sure.
It's a long time. And he seemed like a hot ticket. Maybe he was abrasive at times. I don't know. I think he seemed like...
I feel like anybody that's now approaching 80, 90, 100 is going to be abrasive in some way. I mean...
No kidding. That's how
they've lived an entirely different life than we have.
And I'm really glad that they celebrated his military service. Mm-hmm. You know, like, I mean, he did. He fought in World War II. Mm-hmm. We should not forget that. Okay, Carrie, why don't you kick off the biggest news of the week, which is the Derek Chauvin, George Floyd case and the verdict, which was announced yesterday as we are recording this on a Wednesday. What's today? Wednesday? Thursday. Wednesday. So,
okay.
What's your take?
I'm really struggling right now. I'm irrationally attached to this case because I have to keep reminding myself this doesn't affect my life one way or the other. And yet... I'm mad that it doesn't affect my life one way or the other, and that the
people... That you can't do something about it.
And that the people... Well, just that it's kind of like, it's irrelevant to us. Like, honestly, I was with my husband yesterday after the verdict, and there was these four women walking beside us in the grocery store, and they were all, like, chatting. And I'm like...
Don't you know what's going
on? I want to flip your table. Yeah. I want to yell it, like, come on. Like, they're just... I'm annoyed that it wasn't...
Well, for us here in this bubble, it wasn't a bigger deal.
Yeah. I'm annoyed. Like, it kind of reminded me of the Princess Diana thing. Like, oh, okay, great. He's, you know, whatever. And then you get on with your life and nothing happens and no one... I'm upset. I'm annoyed. And here's the other thing that really bummed me out is that I went on... First of all, I'm thrilled that he was convicted. Right. I don't want anybody to misunderstand what I'm saying. I'm annoyed that we will all fall back into this level of comfort and move on with our lives as if nothing ever happened. That's what I'm annoyed with. But I go on my kids' college website Facebook page today, and there's this lovely post about, you know, in light of the Derek Chauvin is what we're supposed to be called. Verdict, blah, blah, blah. You know, we'll be having student government. We'll be developing some diversity thing. Like, all these really lovely, great things.
Positive results of something.
The comments underneath. Mm-hmm. Somebody did a barf emoji. Now, these are fucking adults. Somebody did a barf emoji. Somebody else said, I'm so glad my child is graduating this year. You won't be receiving any donations from me. Another was, I'm so glad we're almost done with educating our children in general because the education system has just fallen apart. You're supposed to teach and not tell our children. You're not supposed to tell something on the lines of, our children are supposed to form their own opinions and you're not supposed to be teaching an opinion. And I'm like... you're just outwardly racist. Like, it's now, you're just fine with it. You're just saying all these things right out loud. And thank God, so now I can identify you as a racist pig that I want absolutely nothing to do with. Somebody we know posted a White Lives Matter 2 immediately after the verdict was announced. First of all, read the fucking room.
Yeah.
And... nobody said they didn't, you dumb twit. Yeah. Yeah. Your life was never in danger. Of course white lives matter. Nobody ever said they didn't.
Listen, the problem is, like you just said, it's education and the fact that anything that has to do with teaching American history in its actual truest form scares the shit out of conservative people because... the realities of our history, like the fact that they don't want to talk about how we stole this land. Do we know what colonialization is? It's going to another person's land
and taking it
and then colonizing it for yourself. That's what it is.
But why are we afraid of that? What do white people? Why are white people afraid of that? What will change in your life if that's taught. Nothing.
What will change is the awareness of where the policing structure even started from. You brought this up several podcasts ago when we first started talking about Black Lives Matter. If we remember, the only reason why there are the roots of policing in America started with slavery, started in the fact that we had to develop an organization to basically, I wrote this down. Hang on.
I have no recollection.
Yes, you
ever
did.
Saying
you
anything
told me
like
this. You told me this, and then I went back and looked at it, and it's like the roots and the foundation of the American policing system is rooted in slave patrols and the subjugation and oppression of indigenous peoples because it was created to protect white people. The police force in this country was created and foundationally built on the protection of white Americans. So if that's our foundation, if that's how it started, the police force, it's going to take a lot of reform.
Yeah, and I don't think it's going to happen.
I don't think it's going to happen either.
That's my point. I think everyone's going to go on about their lives as if nothing happened.
And, right. And at the beginning of that, a black person was considered two-thirds of a person as it was. The whole idea of the policing was like, you are protecting us against
something not equal to yourself, a non-equal human being.
That has been perpetuated and perpetuated. So we've got problems that I don't know will be fixed just because this one verdict came back with some sort of justice. And it's a very scary thing when you look at the foundational roots of where the policing structure even started.
I'll tell you the things that like stuck out to me yesterday was I was sitting with my daughter. You know, we're in our bedroom. We're cuddled up under the covers waiting for the verdict
yes.
to be announced. And I'm starting to panic and starting to cry. And she's like, Mom, calm down. And then the verdict came back. And he was convicted guilty. And then the guy on CNN that I love, please tell me his name.
Anderson? No. Oh, I know. Jake Tapper.
Okay. He comes on and he like basically says out loud what I was feeling. Like people woke up this morning. Like we watched a man be murdered. We all saw it. There's no question really as to what happened. People woke this morning afraid to hope. Afraid of like, and you know, I'm sitting there afraid to hope that he's going to get convicted. Like, I felt like this could go either way. How could it possibly go either way? And then my husband comes in and he's like, I just want the two of you to know he's going to get off. Be prepared for it. Like, so there we all are preparing for an innocent verdict, which is just freaking insane to me.
It's insane that that you have all of this evidence. I mean, right in front of your face.
And thank God. Because
thank
if
God.
You didn't.
How about Tucker Carlson?
I was
last
just
night?
Going to bring him up.
Go ahead.
Okay. He needs to be removed from television. And his comment of the lynching of Derek Chauvin is so freaking offensive. First of all, hasn't been lynched. He's alive and breathing, and his mother and father can look at him every day.
Well, not for long when he goes to prison, I hope.
I mean, he's there.
Yeah.
He has not been lynched. He's alive. And why is he allowed? Listen, I know people are allowed to have their own opinion. Okay, fine. Why are you allowed to just be on national television and just be like blatantly racist and blatantly tell lies about things
especially
to people?
Especially when you have the Department of Police from New York City, the Lieutenant
yes.
Police Commissioner. He's trying to speak to you, Tucker Carlson.
To say this is different.
This
actually was above and beyond.
Right. The man was subdued and in custody. At that point, you call and you put him in the police car. Jenny and I got into a fight about this. I knew it was going to be manslaughter, but shouldn't, you know, like, I figured it wasn't going to be like, he didn't really think he was going to murder the guy. And I'm like, Jenny, when do you decide, like, when you're lying on a dead person because you've strangled them, like, oh, maybe I didn't mean that.
Well, that's the thought that, so we have somebody that we know that thinks that he died of a drug overdose.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to give you that. And I'm going to say, even if he did, at what point do you stop kneeling on somebody who's no longer responsive and moving and start administering CPR? Because as a first responder, as a police officer,
right.
that is your duty to do that. So because you didn't do that, because he lied there unresponsive for what? Probably 3 or 4 minutes of that 9-minute kneeling. You're responsible for his death. You didn't step in to save a life.
Right. And right now, I feel like between, you know, gun violence and police brutality against black people is just every single day. Even that yesterday, a 14 or 16 year old girl was shot four mm-hmm. times mm-hmm. in a foster environment or something. I don't know the backstory. And I do want to say every case is different. Every case has its own unique set of circumstances. But inherent in all of that,
they're not valued as a life.
Right.
Like you said, the two-thirds human.
Yeah.
They're not looked at as a valuable life.
Right. And it's already perceived as it's an okay thing to use excessive violence in this case because...
I honestly don't understand why they have weapons. I don't understand it. Like, if your beat is highway patrol, why are you carrying a firearm?
Because somebody in the car could have a firearm.
We have so much technology nowadays. A car is speeding down the road.
I know.
Okay?
I don't understand.
Give them a ticket online, electronically. We've tracked you going.
Right. And if there is
such and such miles an hour, you're getting
tickets. Or if you've scanned their license plate, that person that is registered to that license plate has a warrant. Yeah, has a warrant. Then, you know what? Radio ahead.
Call somebody else in. I don't understand it. I don't understand what all the...
I don't know. Like you said, we've got a lot of solutions.
It makes no sense to me.
The more egregious, I guess, depression for me is this Fox News Tucker Carlson beat on the fact
that... But it's not... That is depressing to me. What is making me absolutely anxious is all the people that I'm walking around with in my daily life
that
feel the same exact way.
Because they watch him. You're just being fed hate. I'm not saying you have to watch CNN or MSNBC, but just use your brain, use your heart, think about this country as a whole. Cops
always matter. No, that's the thing.
The police force matters. No one's defunding the police. No one, it's just understand what has been happening out there and the fact that justice certainly hasn't been done in the past and they're just trying to, Trevor Noah says it.
Like, what broke my heart, I did not realize, and I've watched like portions of the video, I haven't watched it like full on through. I did not realize that there was a 9-year-old little girl standing there begging them to stop. How do you not...
I didn't realize a lot of it. I didn't realize there was
And I'm really curious, like, what's going to happen to those other...
Police officers.
Listen, it's hardly the same thing, but... And we were joking about this yesterday, but, you know, there are times, like, as a parent or in, you know, my job at a school where one of us is reaching
it.
A level that's inappropriate for the situation.
Right.
And another adult comes over and says... I'm going to take it from here.
Right.
Or I'm going to take a walk, take a breath, and, you know, we'll handle it. That's human nature. I mean, it's human nature to lose your cool, to lose your temper,
right,
and to act irrationally. But you have to depend on people around you to be like, okay, this isn't going to work for you today, where
right,
somebody else is going to handle this. Shame on them.
Shame on them. So many people were screaming at them, including the off-duty emergency mm-hmm. response woman, who was like, we can all see he's unresponsive now. You've done your job. Let's move on to the next phase of your job now.
And that everybody was too scared to move in closer and do something about it.
Yeah, like afraid of the police force, because mm-hmm. right.
And everybody's like, oh, fucking Candace Owens was on talking about he has a criminal record, he has 17 convictions, blah, 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 and we're really going to honor this person. And yeah, we are. Yeah. He was murdered. That doesn't, the punishments for the crimes that he committed are not death. I've stolen more from Target than that man did from Cup Foods. It was $20.
Well, we don't know his back. I don't know anything about George Floyd's prior issues, but whatever they were, like you said, the sentence shouldn't have been death. And it wasn't for that person to divvy out anyway.
No, you're not the judge.
A jury and executioner. No. That is the point of this, because it perpetuates this awful cycle that we've been in since post-slavery.
And then tell me you were not watching it live when it was happening.
I was at a baseball game and I had CNN on my phone, like, to watch the verdict to try, but it was hard to hear and my thing kept going out. So
then, you know, so the guilty convictions come in and then they, you know, remand him into custody or whatever. And he, you know, is led away. And then I have this pang of, I feel sad for him. Like,
well, no one...
It's like, a human being. Like, right. His life is over. We right. watched a man's, you know, we watched Derek Floyd die, but now we've pretty much...
Condemned another man. Well, yeah, he's going to go.
I mean, he's not going to make it.
And the other thing about that is, that's why it's so important, because those other police officers that were with him could have just stopped everything. They could have all been like, okay, dude, you're out of control. Mm-hmm. Move him off. None of this would have happened to George Floyd, and their buddy wouldn't be going to prison.
Right. Right. You could have saved your buddy.
I would love to hear what their rationale was.
Well, I know the Asian officer, it was a rookie and in training. So he's probably terrified. I mean, but you can say something.
Yeah.
You can say, is this...
Because you would have picked it up on the body camera. They would have picked it up.
Listen, I hope that all of this does make them think of, like, you know, yeah, I am going to at least say something. At least, like...
Because here's the thing. Like, in those instances where the woman police officer shot the boy instead of tased the kid or whatever, mm-hmm. you know, that recent one mm-hmm. that just came out. I don't understand how it happened, but it all happens within, like, 4 seconds. So you're like... Holy shit, this thing happened, and you know she feels remorse about it. Whatever happened, you know that there's some level of...
Well, you know she waved on camera in court.
No, I didn't. What does that mean?
I think it's just obnoxious. The mother was hysterically crying, saying
she waved to who?
When she was being... I don't know, so I'll have to look this up. But in court or when she was being charged or whatever was happening where something...
She gave like a friendly wave?
She waved to the camera.
Oh, I didn't know that. My point about...
Which is a weird behavior.
Yeah. But my point about it is that it's all within a very, very split second situation.
Okay, versus... but here's my thing. You've pulled this child, because he was a child, right. over... You know who he is. You have his name. You have the car he's driving in.
Right.
If he pulls away...
That's what Bart says, too.
You'll get him.
Right.
Why in the world would your instinct be to shoot him?
Right. Or even to tase him at that point.
Like, anything.
Right. I'm just saying, in that circumstance, adrenaline is going. We don't know what her mindset was. Maybe she was thinking, if she doesn't stop him at this moment, he's going to go and hurt somebody else. Derek Chauvin is a whole different... It's like... When you wait for 9.5 minutes, it's a fucking long time.
You got a lot of time to reflect. And then the thing that they were showing on the news last night was the newspaper article that came out the very next day in Minneapolis.
Okay.
Minneapolis man dies of a medical incident while being arrested.
Oh, my gosh.
And I think it was on Anderson Cooper or something. They're saying, if not for... That video,
right?
That's the information that all of us have.
Well, I mean,
he died of a medical incident.
The police were on it. They're like, we've got to get ahead of this story right now. They feed the information to the media, and the media runs with it. And there was one, the woman, she's on Good Morning America, the black reporter, and she's just like, you know, I have a black son, you know, obviously, and he's an amazing kid and a wonderful human being, and my heart hurts every day.
Thinking about sending them out into the world.
That's the piece that I think as parents we can, I just wish.
That's what I find so disgusting about people's comments on social media or Tucker Carlson or anything. Like, you have children. You know what? You have to have some sort of compassion or empathy for the situation that is actually unfolding in front of you. Like, this is not normal.
It's not.
I know, I was thinking about relating to the Meghan Markle thing, how she kept being like, you know, comparing the headlines of, you know, herself to the headlines of Kate.
Right.
Like, you know, Kate's gently caressing her belly bump and Meghan is obsessing over, you know, like just the little differences. Not that that's a racist thing or whatever. And then they were talking about people that have been arrested, like within, you know, every black teenager that's arrested is a black man.
Right.
And then the white kid who shot up the church, he's a white kid who had a bad day. Like, just comparing the contrasting the headlines of, who these people are and the way they're looking at them.
Speaking of that, like, why? I mean, obviously the pandemic is, or, you know, vaccines are out and we're, like, moving out. But the rise in shootings all again.
I don't know, Tina. It's weird to me. Was everybody mad that Trump's not president? I'm like, does it have something to do? I don't know, but it's crazy weird. So I was listening, or I was actually watching on YouTube. There's a podcast with Joe Rogan and Kanye West.
Okay.
And it's like 3 fucking hours long. Yeah. Okay, because Kanye is like in every direction talking about things, right? But he was actually really interesting, too, and right about a lot of things in his total schizophrenic, you know, bipolar way. And he was talking about politics, and he was saying, Bernie Sanders could have won. The narrative and the forces around government know we can't control Bernie Sanders. He's rogue. He's his own man. And they put forward, they always put forward a candidate that sort of like rides the status quo and won't upset the apple cart too much on both sides.
Well, Trump wasn't.
Right. And he was kind of saying, that's kind of what the beauty of Trump was. And he, made a joke like, I wore a MAGA hat. I was for, a revolution of some kind around this whole system of government that we have. And all those things are kind of right. Like, Biden is just a safe political choice.
Which is what we needed to get Trump out of office.
Right, sure.
But, who knows moving forward if the millennials and the Gen Zs, if they'll, because the movement is away from the status quo.
And it was so beautiful, like, watching all those schools, like, they're doing the walkout around the verdict or the time, I don't remember what the exact event was, but, like, they've organized this whole movement about this. It's really beautiful.
They have friends, and their friends of color matter to them. And they can't look their friends of color in the face anymore without actually doing something.
And they're also sort of the first generation of, they were talking about, 1968 actually isn't that long ago.
Right.
And, people of our generation and a little bit older, like, lived in a time where there was segregation and all. So our children can't even understand what all that means. I can't really either, but, it was closer to me than it is to our children.
As Generation X people that we are on the heels of, we were raised by the generation that went through really civil rights movement, and we didn't live enough through it to give.
But we lived in a household where the people we lived with did.
Yeah.
And their opinions were loud
and horrifying
and funneled down to us.
Right.
So then we're sifting through, like, our generation is sort of sifting through what is fact and what is fiction and trying to get rid of our prejudices that were handed down. And hopefully our children or the next generation
little by little, it's going to, eventually, like anything with LGBTQ and all of the diversities that are out there, the younger people seem to have, obviously, with good reason, a better ability to look at it and be like, what is the problem here? Why is there a problem? There shouldn't be a problem. Right. And you people have created this injustice, and now the younger people are starting to become horrified by it because it affects people that they go to school with every day. And why is there all this Asian hate? Like, seriously, people are like, you're kidding me. It's just crazy.
I know, we had a weird incident in our town. This nail salon we love and the business next door.
Oh no, they were vandalized?
No, they're just kind of getting...
Are they afraid?
They're getting bullied a little bit into, like, giving a little bit of their parking area. And it's a tone that I don't know that they would have taken, the business would have taken prior to almost, like, it being acceptable to now hate Asian people. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, they're probably walking a fine line like shit. I don't want to upset the apple cart anymore.
But I don't want to be taken advantage of either.
I wanted to talk slightly about aging parents, and because it related to Prince Philip and how, you know, you watch the Queen, just she's 95 mm-hmm. and she's not stopping at her. And it made me think about the fact that in relation to generations and generational people, like we as Generation X's had parents that really smoked, drank, didn't mm-hmm. give a rat's ass about where we were after school for mm-hmm. however long. We did whatever the hell we wanted. So as children of these people, we become self-sufficient. We figure out what we have to do. We're in control of our lives. Yeah, maybe I have some issues with mm-hmm. Moving furniture around and
constantly. Did you see that TikTok? Or did you send me the TikTok about moving, constantly rearranging rooms and moving furniture is a sign of childhood trauma? And I don't know two bigger furniture movers than Tina.
And, you know, as I'm watching this, so the TikTok is
so funny.
Yeah, the TikTok basically says if you are one of those people that are constantly rearranging your house or environment, furniture, whatever, you probably have experienced
some childhood trauma.
And I don't, obviously, my father died at a young age. And granted, that is traumatic.
I love, right? Tina and I had this discussion a few weeks ago, and she sort of like said matter of factly, like, well, I haven't had any childhood trauma. And I was like, oh, all right, well, your dad died and you were a teenager, sort of left to take on the whole household. I'd consider that trauma. And you go, no, I guess so. I mean, you like were not even willing to acknowledge it as traumatic.
And that's my point, is that Generation Xers are kind of like, yeah, that happened. You move on, you figure it out.
Right.
And I don't consider, I mean, but I'm trying to think to myself, what, am I traumatized?
Yes, you are. Yes, I'm going to say it. Yes.
Anyways, I don't find myself in that category, but I do move furniture around quite a bit. I'm constantly reorganizing. The point I'm trying to make is, let me set the stage. Jenny comes in and says, you know, the Chinese have it right.
Okay, well, let's not get into Asian hate.
No, it has nothing to do with it. I'm like, just like, why? What have you been reading about China? Because I know that's not the case.
Okay.
Okay. I said, Jenny, what do you mean? Well, they just take care of their elderly. And I said to Jenny, I'm sure they do an amazing, amazing job. But what the Asians don't have is, I think, generational norms, where we Gen Xers have had to figure out how to get an education, how to get a job, how to save money, pretty much without a lot of supervision or support. And don't get me wrong, I love my mom, and she did the best job that she could. But in my experience, the generation prior to ours didn't do such a great job regarding planning or caring about their personal health or well-being.
Mm-hmm. And I said to my kids, I can promise you I will do a lot of things wrong. I will not leave you to take care of me.
Mm-hmm. Now, granted, that's what Jenny was saying. Look, you can't help if there's, you know, if you get cancer. Of course not. But you can do everything in your power to take care of yourself. Mm-hmm. You can physically try to take care of yourself.
Okay. I think to defend Jenny, different cultures have intergenerational living.
Right.
So when we were growing up traumatized, if we had lived in a different culture, events happen and that are traumatic, whatever, even in those intergenerational households, but there's somebody else there. So there's a grandma there or there's a grandpa there. Like there's, because they're living intergenerationally, there's always people around and there's always people there. I would say for quote unquote white people, we haven't done the best job of that.
As a culture.
Yeah. And therefore you have traumatized youth because you're left with the single mom who's working, you know, 60 hours a week and the kids are home alone and all of that. Like, yeah, we're not creating that sense of community within our families.
Well, okay, that's fair too. But even so, even if you had that, I mean, I grew up in, and maybe that's why I don't feel super traumatized, because I did have my aunts and uncles around and cousins to like yell at me if I was doing something wrong. But I do think that that generation, and I'm going to pick on this boomer generation for a second, that just kind of...
They're fucking assholes. I don't care. I'm sure some of you had lovely parents. I don't care. But I'm going to tell you, it's not just us. I was watching live with Kelly and Ryan this morning, and Anderson was on. And he was talking about, you know, baby-proofing his house or whatever. And they each told these hilarious stories about how... they were just allowed to roam freely and no one really checked in or gave a shit. Or like Anderson said, his mom would always tell the story about his brother when he was 3 years old going down the stairs and was stumbled and about to fall. But the family dog happened to be walking side by side by the baby, and the dog saved the baby.
Protected the baby.
And Anderson was like, Mom, that's not a nice story. Yeah. Like, because the dog coincidentally happened to be standing by. Like, it's just sort of that whole generation.
Right. You're like, how was that your second martini in your hand?
Exactly. Or
what? Like, what?
And, you know, he wasn't, like, bitter about it. They were joking, but I think it's just pervasive in that whole...
I mean, his mom is Gloria Vanderbilt, for Christ's sake. Right. So she was doing other things.
Right.
And listen, I love my mom. It is... really unbelievable how selfish that generation was in general. I'm speaking in generalities as far as the way they parented and the way they took care of themselves, and have now been like, well, now you guys got to just take care of me. So anyway.
And it's just sort of assumed that it will happen.
I get things happen. I get disease happens and I get accidents happen and all of those things. But try to... think ahead a little bit for your kids' sake at some point.
Yeah, just be caring.
Just be caring.
Caring.
Right.
Of their freaking time. I got the nicest text I've ever gotten from any human being ever.
Oh.
The other day from my daughter.
Oh.
My oldest daughter was at school. I don't know if she was watching something on television or I don't know what spurred it, but she sent me a text, Mom, you were never going to a nursing home.
Oh.
And I was like, oh my God, thank God. Like, because we always joke, like my mother and father had, you know, dementia and Alzheimer's, and I'm like on bided time. Like I'm checking in on myself daily to make sure I'm not there yet.
Listen, I'm not saying we shouldn't be taking care of our elderly. Of course we should. And I would do anything to take
care
of...
But also, you should make sure your children actually... I guess what your point is, there should be such a feeling of... gratitude and love between generations.
Right.
That it's not a burden to me.
Right.
That I have to take care
because
of you.
Because you did everything that you could have done.
Yeah, I'm not fucking angry at you because I want to...
How about just the fact that maybe you should have stopped smoking after the Surgeon General warned everybody that it was... You know what?
Right.
How about that?
Maybe simple things, people.
Maybe that's not the best thing to do. I don't know. Or walk. Like, just, you know... take a walk around the block. I don't know. I feel like our parents...
Oh.
And I love my mom. And I love Eva. I love... It's just the insanity about their mental capacity to understand how to be physically healthy is absurd to me.
So yeah.
That's got into my craw this week with so many other things that are going on. And I just said to my kids... number one, if God forbid that happens, I'm doing the best thing. I'm doing whatever I can right now. I'm telling you, I quit sugar. I'm doing whatever I can to keep my brain healthy so I won't end up with dementia.
So I won't be a burden to you.
So I, just so you know, I'm conscious of it.
Yes.
I don't want to be a burden to
you.
And if I am, and I'm giving you permission.
Put me out.
Take me out. That's fine. I get it. Because you know what? There might be a time where you're like, this is just too much for me. I'm okay with it. I don't want to be. So I understand what Robin Williams was trying to do. Because, he ended up with a
debilitating disease.
He's like, I'm not going down this road.
Yeah.
I'm not making my family suffer this way. Anyways, this is such a high note. Let's leave that on that high note of our... just take care of yourselves, people.
Fuck you, Mom.
No.
I'm just kidding.
No, right.
I'm
exactly.
A poor little old lady.
No,
just
listen.
Just kidding.
Kind of. I'm just saying, be responsible for... I say this to my children every day. Like, if everybody just takes care of their little environment, you pick up after yourself, I wouldn't go fucking mental at the end of the day. You just take care of your one person.
Yeah.
you will all exist in such a healthier, happier environment. All right. Thank you so much for listening. We appreciate it. God damn, that was a good one. We'll talk to you, everybody, soon. Have a great week. We're out of here.
Bye.
Bye, Wilty. Bye, Jen. Bye, Golden Boys. We're out. Bye.